coming up next on Leading the Way.
Self-worship is the largest religion in the world. Self-worship can be packaged in 1,000 different ways, but its content is the same. Me, myself, and I. Those who worship the creation instead of the creator, they will despise themselves one day. I pray to God that not a single person continues to refuse placing their full trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Coming up next.
Today, we will look at 9 of the 10. There are 10 altogether. We're going to look at 9 of those 10 today, and the 10th will be next message, of God's supernatural intervention in Egypt. If you don't have a sense of humor, you're going to miss out a lot of great blessings here today. Turn with me, please, to the book of Exodus. Here, God manifests his power supernaturally, in a magnificent way. 9 judgments that God brought upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians. 9, actually, the 10th next week is going to be the most devastating of all. So I'm leaving it alone till next message. After you look at these 9 out of 10 expressions of God's supernatural power and his judgment on Egypt, you begin to comprehend what God meant in Exodus 12:12. It's easy to remember. This is the whole point here. You miss that, you missed it. Here's what God said. Against the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Against the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. So let's look at these 9 very quickly today. The first judgment was against the source of life in Egypt, the River Nile. The River Nile. Chapter 7, verses 20 and 21. Aaron, that is Moses' brother, in case you don't know, Aaron left his rod and he smote the waters, and the waters turned into blood, and the fish died, and the river stank. In Egypt, there is very little rain. If the River Nile, God forbid, dries up, 99% of the Egyptian population would die in a few days. So they're totally dependent on the Nile. Osiris, one of the chief gods of Egypt, back then, was first and foremost the god of the Nile. To this gods of the Nile, offerings were made. To these gods of the Nile, human sacrifices were offered. The gods of the Nile, to the gods of the Nile, the priests were bowed down and they worshipped. Oh, but now, after what Aaron did, the source of life has become a source of death. The source of blessing became a source of curse. The source of activities became paralyzed. And it lasted for 7 days. You see, God doesn't want to kill them. God was just warning them. He's warning them. After this, Pharaoh begged Moses, please pray to your God to return the Nile in its normal flow and beauty. After God answers Moses' prayer, 7:22, verse chapter 7, verse 22, it says, Pharaoh's heart was hardened and would not let the people go. Secondly, here comes the frogs. Aaron again stretches his hand, and millions of frogs took over the country. I mean, everywhere, frogs for millions of them. Now, this is not your lovable Kermit the frog, by the way. And these are the slimy things that croaked a storm. Why frogs? One of the ancient Egyptians' most beloved goddess, Hekate, H-E-K-T. Hekate was always pictured with a normal head, but a body of a frog. Hecate was considered to be the goddess of fertility. How can they kill the goddess of fertility? That means the future is dead. Here's something even funnier. Pharaoh brings the magicians out, and he said, guys, I want you to get rid of the frogs. We can't kill them. They're goddess, so can you get rid of them? And so the magicians try and try, and what they did, they ended up with more frogs. They couldn't take the ones that were there, but they ended up with more. Frogs, frogs, frogs everywhere. And the last thing they wanted is more frogs. And beloved, only Yahweh could have removed these frogs. And he did when Moses entreated him. Exodus 8:8, Pharaoh said to Moses, entreat your God and get rid of these frogs and I will let you go. But as soon as God answered Moses' prayer, Pharaoh reneged. He basically refused to let them go. Third comes the gnats, or the lice, or the word actually could mean sandflies. These miserable creatures can dig deep under your skin, causing itching and severe pain. You say, why? Why gnats? Listen carefully. Egyptians loved the god of the earth, Geb, G-E-B. The fertile land that they worship produced swarms of gnats now and sand flies. These gnats defiled their bodies so much so that the priests were not able to function and do the rituals of idol worship. Once again, Pharaoh exhibits cheap and temporary repentance, that no change of heart. And once again, God answers Moses' prayer and removes the gnats. Come four. Fourth comes the insect that is near and dear to the heart of the Egyptians. They worship the beetles, not the singers. No. And here again, same song, same verse. As if God's saying, I'm going to give you so many of these beetle gods until they make you sick. And Pharaoh again begs Moses, and Moses asks God to get rid of the abundance of beetles, and God answers Moses' prayer yet again. But once again, Pharaoh hardens his heart after the prayers of Moses were answered. This brings me to the fifth judgment. I hope you're following it with me in your Bible, which is against the cattle of Egypt. Ancient Egyptians venerated animals, especially cattle. Once the most popular cult in Egypt, the most popular cult was Apis, the bull god. Now, this is very important because I'm going to tell you why. The bull represented power, represented strength. And today, to this day, if you go to the temples in Luxor or anywhere, the ancient temples are still in existence, you see a carving of bulls on the wall. The dead bulls in ancient Egypt were given such an elaborate burial ceremonies, and they were buried near Saqqara in Memphis. Here's the tragic fact. Listen carefully. The Israelites, the descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, they were not only knee-deep in mud in Egypt making bricks, but they were knee-deep in worshiping of the bull god. That was the god of preference among the Israelites. Later on, after God performed all these miracles, after God opened the Red Sea and they crossed over. After all that God did, they go into Sinai. And there, Moses goes up to the mountain to meet God and receive the Ten Commandments. And what do the Israelites do? They give their gold to Aaron. And he said, create a golden bull so we can worship him. And they said, oh, Israel, this is the God who delivered you out of Egypt. How quickly they have forgotten. But look around you. How quickly we forget. How quickly we forget. The God of heaven and earth, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who powerfully brought them out of the land of slavery. They went back to worship a bull. So God's judgment on the cattle was a condemnation of this depraved religious system, the bull worship. Still, Pharaoh hardened his heart yet again. The sixth judgment, Exodus 9:10. Moses and Aaron went to the furnace, and they took some of the soot or the ashes from the burning of their sacrifices to their idols. They took some of that soot or that ashes, and they tossed it to the wind, and it became boils and zits to the Egyptians. Not just on their faces, but over their bodies. No medication to help the ancient Egyptians. And these boils, these zits that were, as I said, not only on their faces, all over their body. They couldn't sleep, they couldn't sit, they couldn't scratch, they couldn't dress. So much so that the Egyptian magicians could not show up in front of Moses and Aaron because they couldn't even get dressed. They were covered with boils. But Pharaoh once again faked repentance. He faked it and weaseled out on his promise to let the people go, which brings me to the seventh judgment. It's Exodus chapter 9, verse 18. This can only be described as an extraordinary phenomena. I'm going to tell you about it. I told you earlier that it hardly rains in Egypt. It really does. In fact, in the middle and in the south of the country, where the capital of one of the ancient Egyptians was, in Luxor, you can get 365 days of sunshine. You see, most of them have never seen lightning and hail and the deluge coming from heaven. That's terrorized their hearts. But by this time, this judgment at this plague was the beginning of the turning of the opinion poll against Pharaoh. So far, he's been running above 50% popularity. Now, by this time, it dipped below 50%. You live by the poll, you die by the poll, right? He was okay so far until the hail came. Poor old Pharaoh. The popularity not only plummeted, but to make things worse, Moses warned him ahead of time. He warned him ahead of time. If you hide your cattle, it will survive. And only those who did, their cattle survived. Yet, those who placed their faith in the sky gods were devastated on that day. Horus, from which we get the horoscope, the god of the atmosphere, not N-U-T, the goddess of the sky, both had proven useless before the God of power and might, Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahweh. And then comes the eighth judgment, the invasion of the locusts. Millions of these critters descended on the fields of wheat and barley and corn, and the crops were totally devastated. They munched on those things until whatever the hail left, they finished off. Exodus 10:7. You begin to see by now the political elite and the country's gentry, they began to plead with Pharaoh. Get rid of them. Let them go. Let the Hebrews go. We can't take it anymore. We've had enough. And so Pharaoh begins to bargain with Moses. Meanwhile, when Moses left the palace of Pharaoh, the locusts had devoured everything in sight. Nepri, the god of the grain. Anibos, the god who is the guardian of the fields. Min, M-I-N, the God of the harvest and the crops. All these gods have joined the list of useless gods of Egypt, and they were all defeated completely and thoroughly by who?
Yahweh.
Praise God. Finally comes the ninth judgment. And it came swiftly, and it came unexpectedly. This is the second most significant, devastating judgment. The most significant is what I'll be telling you in the next message. This is the second. In defeating all of the gods of Egypt, the Egyptians experienced 3 days and 3 nights in utter, complete, and total darkness. Darkness was so intense they could not see their hand in front of them. The stars and the moons, whom some of them worship, gone. But here's the most devastating thing of all. The most beloved God that is worshipped by just about everybody in ancient Egypt is the god Ra, R-A-A, the sun god, the sun god. That is the most beloved by all. The others might be cults here and there, but this was worshipped by everyone. The beloved sun god, whom they worshipped and adored, is gone. Think about that. In Egypt, to this day, particularly in the summer months, the noonday sun, about noontime, is so bright. You cannot describe it unless you've seen it. It is so glaring, you can't even look without covering your eyes. Oh, but now, it's darker than midnight. These people were forced to sit still for 3 days and 3 nights. They could not move. They could not eat. They could not see each other. Yet, supernaturally, God provided light in the camps of the Israelites. I know you heard me say this before, and I believe it with every ounce of my being, that as it gets darker in our culture, in our society, in our world, the light of the believer is going to shine far brighter than we ever thought possible. And I take my comfort from the Word of God that even it was dark throughout the pagan world of Egypt, there was light among the people of God. Finally, Pharaoh said to Moses, when their beloved god, Ra, disappeared, "Get out of my face. If you see my face again, you'll be a dead man." Chapter 10, verse 29, Moses said, here's a Yusuf translation, "Fine by me, Baba. I will not see your face again." Think with me. Just think with me for a minute, okay? The first is the river, then the land, then the sky, again and again and again, the creator of all things, the maker of all things, is telling them that he and he alone is the one to be worshipped and adored, not his creation, not his blessings, not his gifts. There are two vitally important lessons that God would have us learn from his word. First, God detests cheap repentance. God detests temporary change that's so you can get what you want from him. God detests convenient and fake spirituality. In other words, God detests foxhole conversion that's supposed to take place and then when it's all over, a person back to his old ways. After each judgment, Pharaoh had a foxhole conversion. After each judgment,
He kept saying, I'm sorry, I'll let you go this time. Okay, I'll let you go this time. I'll let you go.
He had not known or had forgotten that the God of heaven and earth can see straight to his heart. But the reason he was patient and prolonged this thing so that every God in Egypt be defeated by Yahweh. Beloved, God cannot be mocked. He told his people through Isaiah, even those the people of Israel, who the apple of his eye, he said, your empty worship wearies me. Because you're worshiping me with your lips only and your heart is far away. Please, please, please hear me right. I'm not talking about the believer who occasionally sins. And when we sin, we go back to the Lord in repentance and faith and ask for his forgiveness. That's not what I'm talking about. In fact, the Bible, this is something God loves. This is something we must do. The Bible said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, and confessing meaning that you come in agreement with God because God can see everything, he forgives us. He's just to forgive us all our sins. That's not what I'm talking about. I am talking about the person who becomes religious when he wants something from God and then goes back to their old way of life. The second thing I want to leave with you today. Moses was given a variety of options. Smorgasbord by Pharaoh. Pharaoh wanted to negotiate. He wanted to make a deal with Moses, just like the devil does with every one of us, constantly making a deal. Be very careful. And Moses would not settle for anything short of a total obedience to God. In negotiation, we say, you know, you go for the full loaf, and then you settle for the half loaf, and, you know, that's fine in business and politics and all that. But not with God. God, either he is Lord of all or not Lord at all. And Moses insisted. The only deal he accepts is what God demanded. You cannot come to God your way. You cannot even come to God half your way. You cannot come to God quarter your way. You have to come to God God's way. Amen. He is the same Holy Spirit who is our tutor and our teacher and our instructor. He is the same Holy Spirit who's willing to give you discernment, to give you wisdom, to give you understanding, to give you anointing, to give you a favor with God and man.
Passionately proclaiming uncompromising truth, Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef thanks you for your faithful support through your continued prayers and gifts.